Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy 101. Today, I have a special guest. I'm at my friend, who claimed me as a sister, Phoebe, right here beside me.
Hi, guys!
I'm at her house, but I go home tomorrow. So, Thursday, I'll be by myself again. But today, Phoebe's going to radio some jokes from her joke book.
Yep.
So I'll hand her the phone so she can read them to you.
Let me first grab that set book. So, it's called Jokes. Well, there goes that.
Jokes.
I know. Jokes for the whole family is what the book is called. Sorry.
It's so.
It's not even that you can fit. In your box or whatever. I'll screw ya. I'm not going to do it. Little facelings. How dare you fall? You can't fall on me. It's just not possible.
Guys, if you have not checked out her podcast, she makes a podcast too. It's called Phoebe's Fun Facts.
Yep.
And she has I don't see what it is, but so if we listen to her episode today, she has big news.
Yep.
Mhm.
I do.
Yeah.
Very big news.
Mhm.
And I hope that y'all enjoy this big news.
Yeah.
Cause it's definitely big.
Mhm.
And it's definitely worth it. Right, Pages?
Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
Your hair is thicker than my feet.
That's funny.
I know.
I saw it, I didn't. Wherever I saw it, it was buried. I think so. There's another bag of mini marshmallows. Another box of something.
Mm.
Hey, Nally. Little face, you can't just go running off me like that.
Oh, yeah, we need someone to get Sprite.
Maybe this is it. Huh?
We need someone to get Sprites, don't we?
Yeah. We do.
I'm just gonna do that.
I'll see if Vic will go and get it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is it again. If I can get the book to take me to the right page here. Yep, here it is. I found it.
Cool.
I found it. I knew I'd find it.
It sounds like you said I found it.
I know. Cool.
I found it.
I have found it. Sorry.
You're fine.
Book's gonna go up there, and then I go up there.
You almost fell on my leg.
I know. I did it again. Oh, what's this?
Oh, yeah, he almost it's fun.
Yeah.
Ah! Back here.
My phone tried to run away from her.
Yep, the phone tried to run away from me. That's not nice, is it?
No. Bad phone.
Alright, guys. We're going to have some fun today.
Well, you read them that and then it gets snap back.
Okay, you do that.
I will be right back, guys. Have fun with Heather, aka Phoebe. She's going to read you some jokes.
Yep, jokes for the whole family. So on this one, you can have all the kids. Well, just try to skip over the beginning. But all kids can watch these jokes. And the jokes are starting now. First one. Irish farmer. An old man lived alone in Ireland. He wanted to dig his potato garden. But it was very hard work. His only son, who would have gladly helped him, was in prison for bank robbery. Not knowing what else to do, the old man wrote a letter to his son and mentioned the predicament. Shortly, he received this reply. "For heaven's sake, Dad, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the money." At 4 a.m. the next morning, a dozen policemen showed up and dug up the entire garden. Without finding any money, confused, the old man wrote another note to his son telling him what happened and asking what to do next. His son's reply was as follows. "Just plant your potatoes, Dad. It's the best I could do from here." Okay? So that's the first joke. Next one is called Company Memo. Notice, our company requires no further physical fitness programs. Everyone gets enough exercise. Jumping to conclusions, beating around the bush, running down the boss, going around in circles, dragging their feet, dodging responsibility, passing the buck, climbing the ladder, wading through paperwork, pulling strings, throwing their weight around, stretching the truth, bending the rules, and pushing their luck. Okay.
And I'm back, by the way, guys.
Yep, she's back. And the next one is alligator pool. Once there was a millionaire who collected live alligators. He kept them in the pool in the back of his mansion. The millionaire also had a beautiful single daughter. So one day he decides to throw a huge party. When everyone has arrived, he announces, "My dearest guests, I have a proposition to every man here. I will give $1 million or my daughter to the man that can swim across this pool full of alligators and emerge unharmed." As soon as he finished his last word, there was the sound of a large splash. One guy was in the pool swimming as fast as he could, and the crowd was cheering him on. Finally, he made it to the other side unharmed. The millionaire was impressed. He said, "My boy, that was incredible, fantastic. I didn't think it could be done. Well, I must keep my end of the bargain. So which do you want, my daughter or the $1 million? The guy says, "Listen, I don't want your money, and I don't want your daughter. I just want the jerk who pushed me into that pool." Next one is dental extraction. A man walked into a dentist's office one day and asked the dentist how much it would cost to extract his wisdom teeth. $80, said the dentist. Why, that's a ridiculous amount, the man replied. Isn't there a cheaper way? Well, the dentist said, if you don't use any an anesthetic, I can knock it down to about $60. That's still too expensive for me, the man complained. Okay, said the dentist, If I save on anesthesia and simply rip the tooth out with a pair of pliers, I could get away with charging $20. The cheap customer moaned. It's still too much for me. The dentist scratched his head. He said, in deep thought, if I let one of my students do it for the experience, I suppose I could charge you just $10. Wonderful, the man said. Book my wife for next Tuesday. All right, there's that one. The next one, it's called Posh Hotel. A guest at the Posh Hotel called over the head waiter one morning in the breakfast room. The waiter gave him a cheerful smile and said, "Good morning, sir. How can I help you?" The guest replied, "What a wonderful morning it is. I'd like 2 boiled eggs, one of them so undercooked that it's runny, and the other so overcooked that it's tough and hard to eat. Also, I want some grilled bacon that's been left out so it gets a bit on the cold side. Burnt toast that crumbles away when you touch it with your knife. Some butter straight from the freezer so that it's impossible to spread. And a pot of weak, lukewarm coffee, please." "Why, I'm sorry, sir," the waiter replied, "but we could never serve you such a terrible meal here." "Oh, really?" the guest replied. "But that's exactly what I got yesterday." Next one is called A Shred of Truth. A young executive was leaving the office late one evening when he found the CEO standing in front of a shredder with a piece of paper in his hand. The CEO said with a worried expression, "This is a very sensitive and a very important document, and my secretary has gone for the night. Can you make this thing work?" "Sure," said the young fellow, eager to gain points with the bigwig. He turned the machine on, inserted the paper, and pressed the start button. "Thank you so much," said the CEO. "I need 2 copies." It's all in the pronunciation. 2 tourists driving through Louisiana were approaching the town of Natchitoches when they began arguing about the pronunciation of the town. Their argument continued as they stopped for lunch. Standing at the counter, one tourist decided to resolve the issue by asking the employee, "Before we order, would you mind settling an argument for us? Please pronounce the name of where we are at. Of where we are. Slowly, please." The employee leaned over the counter and said, "Burger King." Next one is speed limit. A state police officer observed a car puttering along the highway at 22 mph, miles per hour. He turned on his lights and pulled the car over. Approaching the vehicle, he noticed that it contained 5 old ladies, 2 in the front seat and 3 in the back, wide-eyed and white as ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, said, "Officer, I don't understand. I was just doing exactly the speed limit. What's the problem?" "Ma'am," the officer replied, "you weren't speeding, but you should know that driving slower than the speed limit can also be a danger to other drivers." "Slower than the speed limit? I'm following the posted speed exactly." The officer, trying to contain a chuckle, explained that 22 was the route number, not the speed limit. Embarrassed, the woman smiled and thanked him for pointing out her error. Before letting her go, the officer asked, "Is everyone in this car okay? These women seem awfully quiet, or shaken, and they haven't uttered a single peep this whole time." "Oh, they'll be all right in a minute, officer. We just got off route 119. And you could guess what they did, why the women were shaken after being off route 119. They did the speed of the route number.
Yeah.
119. Mm-hmm. Alright, and there's another joke called Adam humor. 2 Adams are drinking at the bar. Suddenly one says to the other, "I've just lost one of my electrons." "Are you sure?" asked the other. "Yes," replied the first Adam. "I'm positive." Alright, next is called The Son-in-Law. A successful businessman had a meeting with his new son-in-law. "I love my daughter," he said, "and to welcome you into the family, I'm making you a 50-50 partner in my business. Also, all you have to do is go to the factory every day and learn the operations." The son-in-law interrupted him. "I hate factories. I can't stand all the noise." "I see," replied the father-in-law. "Well, then, you'll work in the office and take care of some of those operations." "Oh, I also hate office work," countered the young man. "I can't stand being stuck behind a desk all day." "Wait a minute," the exasperated father-in-law said. "I just made you a half owner of a multi-million dollar business making organization, but you say you don't like factories and won't work in the office? What am I going to do with you?" "Easy," replied the smug son-in-law. "Buy me out." Alright, next one is called Duck Hunter. An avid duck hunter was in the market for a new bird dog. His search ended when he found a dog that could actually walk on water to retrieve a duck. Shocked by his find, he was sure none of his friends would ever believe him. He invited a friend of his, a pessimist by nature, to hunt with him and his new dog. As they waited by the shore, a flock of ducks flew by, then they fired, and a duck fell. The dog immediately jumped into the water. Amazingly, he didn't sink, but instead walked across the water to retrieve the bird, never getting more than his paws wet. The friend saw everything but didn't say a word. On the drive home, the hunter asked his friend, "Did you notice anything unusual about my new dog?" "I sure did," responded his friend. "He can't swim." Okay, and the next one is called Investment Counselor. After starting her own business, an investment counselor found that her business was going so well that she needed to get in-house counsel. So she began interviewing young lawyers. In this business, she stated, one of her first applicants, our personal integrity must be beyond question. Do you consider yourself an honest lawyer, Mr. Ford? I certainly do, replied the lawyer. I'm so honest that after my father loaned me $15,000 for my education, I paid back every penny after my very first case. The investment counselor was impressed. What sort of case was it? She asked. The lawyer pressed his lips tightly for a moment before finally answering. He sued me for the money. Okay, next is stingy lawyer. Trying to prove the saying, you can't take it with you, a stingy old lawyer, a stingy old lawyer diagnosed with a terminal illness finally figured out how to take at least some of his fortune with him when he died. He instructed his wife to go to the bank and withdraw enough money to fill two pillowcases. He then told her to take the bags of money to the attic and leave them directly above his bed. When he passed away, he planned to reach out and grab the bags on his way to heaven. Several weeks after the funeral, his wife, up in the attic, cleaning, came upon the two forgotten pillowcases, stuffed with cash. Oh, that old fool, she exclaimed. I knew I should have put the money in the basement. Next one is called Quiet Man. A man walks into his doctor's office and puts a note on the table for the doctor to read. It said, I can't talk. Help me. The doctor nodded sagely and instructed the man to put his thumb on the table. The man thought to himself that his thumb had nothing to do with his inability to talk, but he decided to do as the doctor ordered. The doctor quickly picked up a hammer and hit the man's thumb with it as hard as he could. Good, good, the doctor said. Come back tomorrow and we'll learn B. Because he screamed. Ah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wedding vows is the next one. Alright. During his wedding rehearsal, the groom approached his pastor with an unusual offer. I'll give you $300... I'm sorry. I'll give you $100 if you can change the wedding vows and leave out the love, honor, obey, and forsake all other parts. He pressed a $100 bill into the pastor's hand and walked away with a satisfied smile. On the day of the wedding, the groom was feeling pretty pleased when the pastor got to the part where the vows are exchanged. The pastor looked him in the eye and asked, will you promise to bow before her, obey whatever command she gives, fulfill her every wish, serve her breakfast each morning, and swear before God that you'll not look at another woman as long as you both shall live? The groom gulped and looked astonished, but he finally said, yes, in a tiny voice, and then leaned in toward the pastor and whispered, I thought we had a deal. The pastor pressed the $100 bill back into his hand and whispered in return, she made me a much better offer. Next one is English professor. An English professor wrote these words on the blackboard, directing his students to punctuate the sentence correctly. Woman without her man is nothing. The men wrote, woman without her man Ant Woman without her man is nothing. The women wrote, "Woman without her man, without her, Ant Woman without her man is nothing." All right, next one is the mime. While attempting to earn some money as a street performer at the zoo, an out-of-work mime got an offer from the zookeeper. The zoo's most popular attraction, the gorilla, had suddenly died, and the zookeeper wanted the mime to dress up like a gorilla to keep attendance up until another gorilla was found. The mime accepted the offer. The next morning, he suited up and entered the gorilla cage before the crowd arrived. He had a great time sleeping, playing, swinging on tires, and making fun of people, but eventually the crowds were tiring of his antics and started paying more attention to the lion in the next cage. The mime wanted the attention by this point, so he climbed to the top of the cage, crawled across to the partition, and dangled from the top of the lion's cage. The visitors loved it. At the end of the day, zookeeper gave him a raise for keeping the crowd so entertained. This continued for several days, and the crowds growing larger all the time. But one day, the mime slipped and fell into the lion's cage. The lion prepared to pounce on the poor, terrified man. The mime ran around the cage, yelling and screaming for help. But the lion was quick and pinned him. To the ground. He looked up at the lion with fear showing through his gorilla mask. When the lion growled and said, "Shut up, you idiot. Do you want to get us both fired?" Alright, the next one is called the hobo. Walking up to the front door of a big farmhouse, a hobo knocked lightly on the door. Until the owner answered, the hobo said, please, sir, could I have something to eat? I haven't had a meal in days." The well-dressed homeowner said, I may have made a fortune supplying goods to people, but I never give away anything for nothing. However, if you go around to the back of the house, you'll find a gallon of paint and a clean brush. Paint my porch and I'll give you a good meal." The hobo was headed off to the back of the house, and a few hours later he came back to knock on the door again. The homeowner was surprised. "Finished already? That's great. Come on in and sit down, and I'll have the cook bring you a meal." "Thank you, sir," the hobo said. "I should tell you, though, that you don't know your cars. That's not a Porsche. It's a BMW. Alright, next one is dental vacation. On vacation, a woman and her husband had to make an emergency visit to the dentist. "I want a tooth pulled," the woman demanded, "and don't bother with the Novocaine either, because we're really in a hurry. Just take out the tooth and we'll be on our way." The doctor was impressed. "You're certainly a very brave woman. Which tooth is it?" The woman pushed her husband forward. "Show him your tooth, dear." The next one is traffic stop. A police officer in a small town stopped a motorist who was speeding down Main Street. "Officer," the man began, "I can explain." No explanation needed, snapped the officer. "I'm going to let you cool your heels in jail until the chief gets back." "But, officer, I have to tell you something," the man tried again.
Just keep quiet. You're going to jail, and you're not and I'm not interested in what you're going to say. You have to say. The officer barked. A few hours later, the officer looked in on his prisoner and said, "Lucky for you that the chief is at his daughter's wedding. At his daughter's wedding, he'll be in a good mood when he gets back." "Don't count on it," answered the fellow in the cell. "I'm the groom." The next one is border crossing. A man on a bike carrying two sacks on his shoulders was stopped by a guard while crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. "What's in the bags?" asked the guard. "Sand," the cyclist replied. "Get them off. We need to take a look." The guards emptied the bag and found that they contained nothing but sand. The man replied, or reloaded his bags and continued across the border. A week later, the same man was crossing again with two more bags. The guard emptied them to sea, and again, they contained nothing but sand. They continued every week for 6 months, until one day the cyclist failed to appear. A few days later, that same guard ran into the cyclist in the city. "Hey, where have you been?" the guard asked. "You sure had us wondering. We knew you were smuggling something across the border. I knew you were smuggling something across the border. So tell me what, and I won't say a thing." "What was it?" The man smiled and told him the truth. "Bicycles." Alright, next. A supermarket shopper. In a large supermarket, a man approached a very beautiful woman and said, "I've lost track of my wife in here. Could you talk with me for a couple of minutes?" Why? She asked. "Because every time I talk to a beautiful woman, my wife appears out of nowhere." Next is new at college. In the first day of college, the dean addressed the students, pointing out some of the rules. "The female dormitory will be out of bounds for all male students, and for the male and the male dormitory to the female students. Anybody caught breaking this rule will be fined $40 the first time." He continued, "Anybody caught breaking every rule the second this rule the second time will be fined $90. Being caught a third time will incur a hefty fine of $200. And is there any questions?" At this point, a male student in the crowd inquired, "How much for a season pass?" Huh. And now the next one is...
"I'm back, girls."
Oh, hi.
Hi. You didn't hear me come in, did you?
No. We're actually doing her podcast, so I was busy reading jokes.
How long was Marla here? Stay for a little while?
At least for minutes, until minutes after you left.
I thought she was supposed to do the podcast with you.
I guess she said she was gonna walk home because Ashley irritated her worse.
Oh, Ashley, come by?
Not here. She can't. I guess she talked to her on.
Oh, and she got irritated. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ashley does irritate her a lot.
I know she does.
Yeah.
As she said, her problem child.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jennifer Moore even admitted that, I guess to Aunt Marla, that I'm kind of like the said. I'm kind of like the. Even though I'm also yours, Jennifer admitted that I'm also Aunt Marla's Sagittarius child. She always wanted, I guess. I was like, aw.
No, that's sweet.
That's sweet. I think I might barf from the sweetness. Oh, did they just say that?
Can I go? Are you awake?
Yep, they're awake.
Yep, we're awake.
You need to take your
I'm back again.
You take your medicine today.
You're back again.
You got something to drink, sweetie?
No.
We need more Sprites.
You got a Sprite already?
Yep.
Well, they have Sprite. Okay. I'll do some Sprite.
All right, you guys. So the next joke is there was life before the computer. An application was for employment. A program was a TV show. A cursor used profanity. A keyboard was a piano. Memory was something that you lost with age. A CD was a bank account. And if you had a broken disc, it would hurt when you found out. Compress was something you did to garbage, not something you did to a file. And if you unzipped anything in public, you'd be in jail for a while. Log on was adding wood to a fire. Hard drive was a long trip.
Hey, you kind of buy dogs before though. You have enough to buy dogs before though.
Yeah. I got money to buy for dog food for Willow, but Paige will have to buy Sprite in that case, because I'd have enough if I didn't have to buy that, but I didn't know we needed to buy some. So, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't know about the dog food thing. So, otherwise I'd have bought the Sprites. I know you bought so much, and I know. A mouse pad was where a mouse lived. And a backup happened to your commode.
What?
This joke.
Oh, I thought you meant the commode in the bathroom. Like what?
Well, yeah, because in the book, okay, the joke, here's the joke. I'll read it to you. You didn't hear all the joke. It's called There Was Life Before the Computer. Uh-huh. It said an application was for employment. A program was for a TV show. Uh-huh. A cursor used profanity. A keyboard was a piano. Memory was something you lost with age. A CD was a bank account. And if you had a broken disc, it would hurt when you found out. Compress was something you did to garbage, not something you did to a file. And if you unzipped anything in public, you'd be in jail for a while. Log on was adding wood to a fire. Hard drive was a long trip on the road. A mouse pad was where a mouse lived. And a backup happened to your commode. Cut, you did something with a pocket knife. Paste, you did with glue. A web was a spider's home. And a virus was the flu. I guess I'll stick to my pad and paper and the memory in my head. I hear nobody's been killed in a computer crash. When it happens, they wish they were dead.
That's pretty good.
I know. And the next one's called Time to Be Fair. So you want a day off. Let's take a look at what you're asking for. There are 365 days per year available for work. There are 52 weeks per year in which you already have 2 days off per week, leaving 261 days available for work. Since you spend 16 hours each day away from work, you have used up 170 days, leaving only 91 days available. You spend 30 minutes each day on coffee break, which counts for 23 days each year, leaving only 28 days available. With a 1 hour lunch hour each day, you used up another 48 days, leaving only 22 days available for work. You normally spend 2 days per year on sick leave. This leaves you only 20 days per year available for work. You are off 5 holidays per year, so your available working time is down to 15 days. We generally give 14 days vacation per year, which leaves only 1 day available for work. And you'll be darned if you're going to take that day off.
If you're hungry for dinner, you let me know, okay?
Okay. Next is the computer user's reboot poem. Don't you wish when life is bad and things just don't compute that all we really had to do was just stop and hit reboot? Things would all turn out okay. Life could be so sweet if we had those special keys, control, alt, and delete. Your boss is mad, your bill's not paid. Your wife, well, she's just cute. She's just mute. But stop and hit those wonderful keys that make it all reboot. You'd like to have another job, but you fear living in the street. You solve it all and start anew. Control, Alt, and Delete. All right. The next one is called Caught by the Cops. A fellow bought a new Mercedes and was out on an interstate road for a nice evening drive. The top was down, the breeze was blowing through his hair, and he decided to open her up. As the needle jumped up to 80 miles per hour, he suddenly saw a flashing red and blue light behind him. There ain't no way they can catch a Mercedes, he thought to himself, and it opened her up further. The needle hit 90, 100, 110, and finally 120, with the light still behind him. What on earth am I doing, he finally thought, and pulled over. The cop came over to him, took his license without a word, and examined it with the card. I've had a tough shift, and this is my last pullover. I don't feel like more paperwork. So if you can give me an excuse for your driving that I haven't heard before, you can go. Last week, my wife ran out of... Last week, my wife ran off with a cop, the man said, and I was afraid you were going to give her back. Have a nice night, said the officer. Alright. Tire trouble is the next one. Two guys were taking chemistry at the University of Alabama. They were so confident going into the final, that 2 days before, they decided to go up to the University of Tennessee and party with some friends. They had a great time. However, they overslept and didn't make it back to Alabama until the morning of the exam. Rather than miss the final, they found their professor afterward to explain why they had missed the exam. They told him that they went up to the University of Tennessee for the weekend and had planned to come back in time to study, but they had a flat tire on the way back and decided to have and didn't have a spare and couldn't get help for a long time, so they were late in getting back to campus. The professor thought this was over and told them they could make up the final on the following day. The two guys were relieved. They studied that night and went in the next day for the final. The professor placed them in separate rooms and handed each of them a test booklet and told them to begin. They looked at the first problem, which was worth 5 points. It was something simple. Cool, they thought. This is going to be easy. They did that problem and then turned the page. Question 2 said, which tire? 95 points. All right. Next is Trust the Lawyer. A defendant was on trial for murder. There was strong evidence indicating guilt, but there was no corpse. In the defense's crossing statement, the lawyer, knowing that that his client would probably be convicted, resorted to a trick. Ladies and gentlemen, with the jury, I have a surprise for you all. The lawyer said as he looked at his watch. Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk into this courtroom. He looked toward the courtroom door. The jurors, somewhat stunned, all looked on eagerly. A minute passed and nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said, "Actually, I made up the previous statement, but you all looked on with anticipation. I therefore put to you that you have a reasonable doubt in this case as to whether anyone was killed, and insist that you return a verdict of not guilty." The jury, clearly confused, retired to deliberate. A few minutes later, the jury returned and pronounced a verdict of guilty. "But how?" inquired the lawyer. "You must have had some doubt. I saw all of you stare at the door." The jury foreman replied, "Oh, we looked, but your client didn't." Fix it, and the next one's called Fix It Yourself, If You Can. When a guy's printer type began to grow faint, he called the local repair shop, where a friendly man informed him that the printer probably needed only to be cleaned. Because the store charged $50 for such cleaning, he told him he might be better off reading the printer's manual and trying the job himself. Pleasantly surprised by his candor, he asked, "Does your boss know that you discourage business?" "Actually, it's my boss's idea," the employee replied sheepishly. "We usually make more money on repairs if we let people try to fix it themselves first." Next is the perfect employee. And before I start the next joke, I want to see how much time we have. 48. So I'll do a few more jokes. All right.
"Well, we also might need to check my battery percentage, because earlier it was at 20%.
It's 11%. Okay, a couple more jokes will do it. Okay, now back to the joke. So, the perfect employee. One, Bob Smith, my assistant programmer, can always be found. Two, hard at work at his desk. He works independently without. Three, waking company time talking to colleagues. That's what it literally says, is waking. Bob never, four, thinks twice about, there you go. Bob never thinks twice about insisting fellow employees, and always, five, finishes giving assignments on time. Often, he takes extended six measures to complete his work, sometimes skipping coffee. 7. Breaks. Bob is a dedicated individual who has absolutely no 8. Vanity in the spite of his high accomplishments and profound 9. Knowledge in his field. I firmly believe that Bob can be 10 classed as an asset employee, the type which cannot be dispensed with. Consequently, I duly recommend that Bob be promoted to executive management, and a proposal will be executed as soon as possible. Addendum. That idiot was standing over my shoulder while I wrote the report sent to you earlier today. Kindly reread only the odd-numbered lines. Now I'm just going to do it just to see what the heck. Because I want to do it now. Wasting. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it wasn't waking. It was wasting company time. Oh, wow. If you read the odd number of lines, you know what it says? Bob Smith, my assistant programmer, can always be found wasting company time talking to colleagues. Bob never finishes given assignments on time. Often he takes extended breaks. Bob is a dedicated individual who has absolutely no knowledge in this field. I firmly believe that Bob can be dispensed with. Consequently, I duly recommend that Bob be executed as soon as possible. That's what the odd numbered lines read. All right, let's see what we got here. It's 52 minutes, we've done it in 33 seconds. I think, let me see how, this joke is pretty long, so I think a shorter joke would be fine, but I don't think any long ones would be good for this last one. Alright, helpful boss. Gardner went to see his supervisor in the front office one day. "Boss," he said, "we're doing some heavy house cleaning at home tomorrow, and my wife needs me to help with the attic and the garage, moving and hauling stuff." "We're short-handed, Gardner," the boss replied tersely. "I can't give you the day off." "Oh, thank you," Gardner said. "I knew I could count on you." That's what I thought. Oh my god, that was funny. Careful.
Alright, guys, well, we have fun.
We sure did.
And I will be back on Thursday.
Yep, she'll be back on Thursday. And she'll be, like she said, by herself. And so, you know, well, unless she invites me on the anchor way, you know. But if she wants to be by herself on that day, she can. Whatever she feels, that is that. But she at least will not be here in person with me that day.
No.
Even if she did invite me on the anchor, she would not be here in person.
No.
So, you know, but she, you know. Doesn't mean you won't see me on her podcast again.
No.
Yep. So, everyone, yeah, isn't that fun?
Yep, and thank you, Phoebe, for being on my podcast.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. I enjoy being on this lovely, funny podcast.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy reading this joke book too to them because it's it's funny. Yep.
All right, guys. Well, bye.
All right, bye.